Thanksgiving is a uniquely American tradition. Of course, it goes back to the Pilgrims of Plymouth, 1621. George Washington was the first president of the United States, of course, but he was also the first president to declare a national day of Thanksgiving. As we were now under the Constitution, there's a famous Thanksgiving proclamation he made on October 3, 1789, to declare a date later in November to be this National Day of Thanksgiving. We're going to talk about this right now with Dr. Peter Loback, with whom I had the privilege to write a book called George Washington's Sacred Fire. Pete, I enjoy these discussions on George Washington and his faith and also the founders and their faith, and it's great to have you back on again.
Yeah, Jerry, it's so much fun. I think you and I ought to write a book on Washington. It's just terrific.
Yeah, no, that'll never work. No, it's funny. That book, by the way, that book was initially a joke because it was so thick. It was about 1,200 pages, 700 pages of text, and 500 pages of endnotes and appendices as well. But it just documenting the case. Look, come on, George Washington was a believer in Jesus. He was not a deist. I don't know why anybody, you know, would classify him as a non-believer, other than their ignorance of his writings about Scripture and his quotings of Scripture and so forth.
Well, you know, somebody made the joke along the way and said, why would it take so many pages to prove Washington was a Christian? 1,200 pages? Why does it take that much? Well, the answer is because there have been so many pages written to prove that he wasn't. And we wanted Washington to give the full answer right from his own words. And when you put those all together, that's how much he was able to say. There was a lot. When you put him in this context, he was very much committed to the low school Anglican tradition of worshiping God according to the prayer book, and it's all of its great theological principles shaped his life, from his church to his public service and his family. And so that's one of the reasons why Thanksgiving was natural for him, because that was part of the church's tradition. There was giving thanks comes right out of the Bible.
All right. Now, this is so interesting. Here we are in a day, an age where some people talk about the godless Constitution. They try to say that the founding fathers, including George Washington, never intended, you know, God to be any meaningful part of our governance and so forth. But here on October 3, 1789, George Washington issues this Thanksgiving proclamation, and he says, the reason I'm even doing this is because both houses of Congress have, by their joint committee, and I'm quoting him, requested me to recommend to the people of the United States a day of public thanksgiving and prayer to be observed by acknowledging with grateful hearts the many signal favors of Almighty God, especially by affording them an opportunity peaceably to establish a form of government for their safety and happiness. So comment on that, if you would. I mean, how ridiculous to say the founding fathers, you know, intended America essentially to be this secular wasteland. That's not true according to this document.
Well, you know, the question that we had to ask when America was founded is, how do we bring together a secular, diverse, religious, different religious, devout and undevout people into one government? That was the reality, because there were people who were from different religious traditions, like the Jews, that were a small part, but they were present. There were also state churches, like the Anglicans and the Congregationalists. There were the Quakers that didn't want to take oaths and vows. There were Presbyterians that were very active in government, and you had Methodists, and on the list goes. And at that day, all of these different groups, in their core belief, somehow didn't want to identify the other group as really faithful to God. And some of them, in their deepest commitment, said, I'm not even sure they're Christians. You know, they're Anglicans, and we're Presbyterians. Or, you know, all those kind of issues were going on. They didn't pray together. They wondered, did they really know the gospel? And so to create a common government, they realized they could not establish a religious entity. The Anglicans and Congregationalists could not be joined together under a common religious expression, because they had different forms of government and that sort of concern. So the Constitution that was developed did not declare the Bible as the supreme law of the land. What it did, it's declared the Constitution as the supreme law of the land. But in giving us a Constitution as the supreme law of the land, it made clear that it limited the government's power. And to make sure there was no confusion about that, it then added, as we know, the Bill of Rights, the First Amendment in particular, that makes Congress totally outside the religion business. And that was the genius and the risk that our founders took. They said, we don't think we can come up with a religious solution that's going to satisfy everybody, but we need a constitution. So we are not going to make a test of religion, and they'll actually say that. There's no test of religion will be required. But they made a constitution that was such that religious people and state churches could actually have full participation. And so the constitution would always remain a form of guiding Christian peoples as long as the peoples wanted and continued to be Christians. And their main concern underneath that was the belief that if the government began to impose a religious viewpoint on the people, it would create hypocrisy. People would just say, well, I've got to be this because the government makes me do this and I have to be a lawyer, so I've got to take... They didn't want any of that. They wanted there to be a real Christianity. So the risk was, we don't have a constitution that requires a religious expression. It's absolutely, however, compatible and consistent with Christian governance. And as long as we have Christian people creating this system and living it out, it's going to have Christian values. But the moment they lose that Christian presence, the Constitution itself is not going to preserve that Christian witness. It's going to disappear. So with that kind of a background, you can see why very early on then, the people who had a very deep Christian tradition said, man, we want to express our thanks to God. Both houses of Congress and the president are all united saying, let's express the fact that we believe that God has blessed us and we can unite on giving thanks to him. This was an expression of a government that did not require a religious test, wanting to use the freedom afforded by the Constitution to make a religious expression, which they were completely free to do. Hmm. So it's an interesting balance. That was the American experiment, and it has worked really well for a lot of years. But if Christians stop being present in government, it's going to give it to the prevailing political power that takes its place. That may someday come along, don't you dare ever give thanks in God's name again because we don't think you ought to do it. Well, that's what will happen if Christians are not present to show their influence in a constitution that allows them to have a full voice and a full role in the governing of the nation.
Hmm. You know, it's interesting because it's like, that they could come, that Thanksgiving is declared null and void, you know, as a national holiday. I mean, after all, it's a day to give thanks to God. But again, the first president to declare a national day of Thanksgiving was George Washington, father of our nation. Abraham Lincoln is the one who made it an annual event. But let's go back to Washington's Thanksgiving Proclamation from 1789. It is the duty of all nations to acknowledge the providence of Almighty God, to obey his will, to be grateful for his benefits, and humbly to implore his protection and favor. So here's a man who is part of the Christian tradition, and he's talking to people, the vast majority of whom are also part of the Christian tradition in various different denominations. And listen to what he's saying. I mean, it's a very strong theological statement. We must obey God, you know, acknowledge him and obey him and be grateful for him and humbly pray to him. I mean, where's the ACLU? They would be jumping up and down at this, you know, steaming mad at George Washington for this.
They would not want it to be said today, that is for sure, but it was clearly said there without opposition. And so to me, this is a wonderful point to begin by saying they're celebrating the Constitution, and it shows that their spirit was a belief that God gave this country its existence, and they want to thank him for it. That Christians are the people that created the public square in America. Christians are not interlopers. They have not somehow bullied their way into the public square or into the government life. They created it, and this is the great indicator of it. They said, we are now uniting as government leaders to recognize we need to give thanks to God for this wonderful miracle of a government that brings us all together. That is really important, and I think that's why knowing our history is so critical, because there are going to be those that say, you can't do that. That's unconstitutional. These are the people that wrote the Constitution, showing that right from the beginning that authentic belief and Christian theology was a legitimate part of the American experiment. And so Christians belong in government. They should never abdicate that role.
And it's interesting, too, to talk about this in terms of to tell another human being, or in this case, for George Washington, the president, to tell the nation that, okay, we're going to set aside this day to have a day to say thank you to God. I mean, that's really quite significant. Here's what he said. To the service of that great and glorious being who is the beneficent author of all the good that was, that is, or that will be. Boy, that sounds so Christian, you know. That we may then all unite in rendering unto him our sincere and humble thanks for his kind care and protection of the people of this country. I mean, here he is. 1789, after they went through that horrible, long-lasting war, which went from 1775 to 1781 with the surrender at Yorktown, then the official ending in 1783, and then things started kind of falling apart because the Articles of Confederation wasn't working very well, so then they created the Constitution. Then there was some controversy over that, but finally it was ratified, and boom, here they are, 1789, and George Washington saying, hey, fellow Americans, we need to remember to give thanks to God. I mean, you're right. This is our history right there in that one speech.
Yep. Now, notice the balance, and I think it's remarkable. In the first paragraph of the Thanksgiving Proclamation, it says they are requesting him to recommend to the people of the United States a day of public thanksgiving and prayer. They don't say, you're required to have this day. We're going to tell you, you have to pray. But what they're doing is they're leading. They're saying, we believe we have a right to encourage you to do these things, but a recommendation doesn't have to be followed. You're not going to be taxed or penalized for it. And I think that's the beautiful balance of the American story.
Good.
We did not establish a theocracy that says, boy, you better be in church on Thanksgiving or else you're going to be punished. No. What it is that we really want you to celebrate this Thanksgiving and acknowledge how much we are indebted to God. We recommend you do that. So spiritual leadership is consistent with national freedom, and that is consistent with that belief that if we don't have people that know God's word, that love God, that walk humbly with Christ, how are we going to be a happy nation? So Washington's last words as the retiring a general that called on the nation to imitate Christ is now picked up by all of Congress saying, let's get involved in giving thanks to God and remembering how much we owe to him because of every blessing coming from his hand.
Mm. You know, I think there's some other meat to be found in this Thanksgiving proclamation, so I'd like to save the rest of it for another day. But how about a comment, if you will, in terms of a closing thought, in terms of why should we as Americans be grateful not only for what happened in George Washington's day, but in our own as well?
Well, I love the reference, I believe, that is to Jesus Christ in this statement, where he says, offering our prayers and supplications to the great Lord and ruler of nations, and beseech him to pardon our national and other transgressions. I believe that's a direct appeal to Christ, to his grace, because he is called the ruler of the nations in the scriptures. And Thanksgiving is a reminder that not only is our blessing the providential gift that, wow, another harvest, another year of freedom, another year in which we have so many blessings, but the gospel continues to be preached in America, that the forgiveness of sins is something that we can, in fact, cherish in our hearts. And it's my hope that in America, the forgiveness will also be part of our culture when we find so many divides in our past, things that we say, America didn't get it all right. But, you know, we can forgive one another and move on and build a future of a greater commitment. So I'm glad the gospel's still here. I hope that the divide between the haves and the have-nots, the blacks and the whites, the Hispanics and the non-Hispanics, all of those things will ultimately be addressed with thanksgiving that God has given us a gospel that can forgive our nation where we failed, but can forgive one another where we failed, and we have so much then to praise God for, because He is the source of not just common grace, the blessings of the harvest, but of special grace, the good news of the gospel that forgives us and gives us a new beginning.
Amen. Dr. Peter Lobeck, again, providenceforum.org. Thanks so much for being with us. God bless you.